You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in the front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Stanton homered again. Trapped him on air.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Back again with another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 165. Baseball is now finally underway, and the Yankees started the 2024 MLB season probably the best way you can possibly do so.
I don't think we would have written it up any better, Rob.
You couldn't have written the script any better to start the year. A lot of the opening weekend this past weekend, the big story had to be in Major League Baseball had to be the Yankees sweeping the Astros in the way that they won each of these games in comeback fashion. Technically, you know,
manufactured runs. Like, what is that?
You know, the long ball wasn't the way that they dominated this. Their MVP or once MVP, I don't want to even open that conversation up, but the Aaron Judge going 2-for-16 through this series, and they still found a way to manage a sweep. Coming back on game one with the Juan Soto defensive heroics, even though people say he's not a good defensive player. Then game two, they opened it up thanks to Oswaldo Cabrera and Soto, and that game was more of a errors on the on the Astros side. And then, you know, game three, a little bit of a comeback, and game four, comeback, and then holding on at the end. So we're recording actually the day after they beat Arizona as well in the first game. So that's another win that they took care of business. And before we hopped on, we were talking about how it's not the long ball. They're manufacturing runs. They're manufacturing these wins in different ways, which is, I think, the promising thing. And I really hope that they carry into the season and carry into the rest of the season. But
and then just going back to, like, remember last year, Rob, when Judge obviously went down. And the second he goes down, I mean, it's like the lineup didn't know how to walk to first base. To see them take five straight and Judge essentially be a non-factor, besides I think he had one hit last night, but we're not even going to count last night. I mean, that's huge W. Just the fact that, you know, the team can win without Cole at the head and Judge at the tail end of the snake as of right now. So I'm for that. You know, if Judge needs to struggle through April and the Yanks still look good, sign me up, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll dive into it. As we said, we're recording the day after they started their series in Arizona, so they were in Houston to open the weekend. And I think one of the cool things that we can all say as noted Houston Astros haters, as all of us are as Yankee fans, it was really nice to see that building go silent real fast at a lot of these different points in the series. It was and Houston too looked a little, and I don't want to say anything because it's, you know, it's first series, and they just had a no-hitter last night.
They look sloppy, dude.
They did look very sloppy, and they looked a little old to me. And I don't know. I just got that sense. A lot of season left, so even us just talking about the sweep, you know, a lot of baseball to be played. But I will say that that was something that sort of stood out to me watching this.
If you really look at their lineup, too, I mean, you know, once you really get past, like, Tucker and, you know, Bregman's going to be Bregman, obviously. I mean, Chaz McCormick had a sick year last year, and Jeremy Pena, you know, potentially see what he can do. But, I mean, outside of their top five, I mean, you don't got much. And then, obviously, you know, they're not at full strength with their rotation, but neither are the Yankees. But they simply just – the rotation doesn't look as good as it usually has. The fact they got Hader already, like, you know, Hader's been got by the Yanks. And the lineup looks a little half-assed. I mean – come on, lose the West again. Give it to Seattle for all I care, or Texas, whatever it is.
Just not them.
I mean, I'm all down. I'm down for a downfall of Houston, but
I think everyone would sign up for that. You know, Texas was taken over. The Rangers were taken over. That mm-hmm. state, it seems like. They got the monkey off their back last year in that playoff series. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. That they definitely talk about a way to have a bounce back, though, last night with the no-hitter. So,
mm-hmm.
But let's hop into
eighth career start, too. That's wild.
Crazy. And he's 30 years old, too, so it's a little bit of an older
is
guy.
Is he 30? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So he's been a journeyman, really.
A little bit, yeah. So, or just through the minors and stuff and finally got a shot.
Throws a no-no. Good for him.
So, game one, opening day, Nestor Cortez is on the mound. The Yankees debuted their new uniforms, which mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw around.
Drenched in sweat.
But terrible. So,
are they not going to do something about that? Like,
I don't really think so. I know the
you're just going to let it fly.
The appearance is, in terms of the actual, the Yankees uniforms don't look as bad as the rest of the teams that mm-hmm. have names on the back. So I guess that's where it sort of saves us of not having names on the back of our jerseys.
But how's the performance in a jersey that just, you know, adds another, you know, 2.5 pounds of sweat once you're in inning four, you know?
Well, yeah, that was the whole thing. I mean, Judge's body was drenched, and then Rodon, for his start on Friday, yeah. He actually, I think he changed jerseys, because I was listening on the Apple broadcast, because they let you listen to WFAN while you're watching the game. Mm-hmm. So Susan said, "Oh, I think he changed his jersey, John." So,
didn't David Cohn used to do that all the time?
It's not that crazy, but I think these jerseys were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because, and it wasn't, the Yankees aren't so dealing with the just the ugliness of the names, because they don't have to, but they're still dealing with the performance aspect of, like, mm-hmm. this thing is getting soaked like
it's a liability t-shirt. On the field.
And it does. Like, I'm sure it gets annoying for pitchers who are creatures of habit, and I'm sure they're like, we want the Nike ones. But that, they debuted the new jerseys, the old style ones this season, and they'll be wearing those on the road throughout the year. But so let's get down to the actual game.
Let's
so
do
Nestor
it.
Cortez in this game went 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks. The thing that I took out of this start from Nestor was really the fact that he looked – you know, he talked about before, and I think I mentioned it on the last podcast, that he really mm-hmm. was talking about grounding himself and not getting too anxious or not, you know, overthrowing or doing it. He really didn't go against that.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. So I'm rooting for Nestor. We want to root for Nestor, but it just
root for anyone that wears a Yankee.
That first game was a real evidence of, okay, that looked
he
like
kept
an
him.
After start of last year before the injury.
He did keep him in it, though.
He did, but it's just the location for a guy mm-hmm. that his whole game is sort of
is
built
spots.
Around is hitting spots. And if you're not doing that, what are you bringing to the table? He's not going to overpower guys like we're thinking of, like Rodon can do at least, because he was hitting 98. Or you're thinking Cole, if he's maybe not hitting his spot, like Nestor's
and his leg
and
kicks
butter.
Aren't doing it anymore.
Yeah, and Nestor's bread and butter is the timing aspect, which, like you said, isn't necessary because people are sort of figuring it out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, sort of like CeCe in the later part of his career, he's really good at hitting spots. If you're not doing that, then what are you bringing? But like you said, he did keep him in it after he settled down, but he was letting on a lot of runners, a lot of base traffic that wasn't the best. The Astros ended up getting 3 runs in the first with a little, you know, small ball themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Myers hit a home run in the second inning. And then the Yankees started to break it out open in the fifth. Soto gets the first RBI of the year, singling in Trevino. Rizzo was able to get in on a bases loaded hit by pitch. And then Volpe was able to get in on a walk. Valdez did not look good at all in this game either. He had a ugly line, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 6 walks.
He didn't have like a great season last year either. So is this kind of like ace potential hopefully falling through a little bit? I would love that. He had a good season last year, but he wasn't, you know, Houston Astros ace of the league type deal.
Yeah, I kind of thought of him now, especially with now Verlander gone a little bit, mm-hmm. that he would have to sort of step into that role. I mean, talk about Javier, though, the next night. He may be their ace the way he pitched.
I mean, both those guys just have ridiculous breaking balls, too.
Mm-hmm. And he was spotting, and Judge has serious problems with Javier, but we'll get into that in the next
one.
So Oswaldo Cabrera goes
all he had to do was watch Juan Soto, dude, and swing the bat a couple times.
And I wanted to talk about that too, because I wanted, he had some interesting comments when he did say that. So Oswaldo ties the game in the sixth. Verdugo then hits a sac fly to put us up in the top of the seventh, but it did not go smoothly to end the game. As we know, Tyler's favorite pitcher, favorite closer, Clay Holmes, had a little trouble, but he got the save. He let on three hits, but Juan Soto was the guy, and defensive, and it was such a close play. They initially called him out. It was such a weird angle that I thought he was out, but I wouldn't have. There wasn't enough evidence to really overturn it. So just say the umpire called him safe when he slid in, then
he might have been safe.
He might have been, because it was just so inconclusive. Like it was really hard to tell. But luckily called him out. Game over.
I'm pumped to go home.
And they win their first game of the year.
Ball game over. Yankees win. Yankees win.
So they take this game. But I want to talk about Oswaldo, because he did. He had the next game where he performed well. I mean, he performed well the entire series. But he did mention that, and I think it was to – was it either the Fox broadcast or the Apple broadcast? But he did say all it took – he was joking, right?
He was
he was. But do you think there's a little truth to the fact that – he may be...
I mean, if you're watching the best lefty in the league swing the bat, I definitely think it can help.
But you think it's the difference of, okay, we're listening to the Yankees hitting philosophy and that.
Yeah.
I mean, even Judge doesn't listen to them. Judge has his own hitting guy.
I feel like it's clear. It seems to me like the Yanks are kind of... I don't know. Are they hands-off with their hitting philosophy? Because when we came out last year, I feel like there was like reports when G was playing really bad and the whole thing, and they're like, we just kind of let them do their thing for the most part. Obviously, you know, they put emphasis on dingers, but if it's Oswaldo saying, hey, I'm not, this is not my game, I'm just going to look at Juan because I want to hit like him, sign me up. Do you think it's kind of like that? Like he's just kind of teetering the philosophy and trying to find an external, source almost?
I think it's an influence, and certainly it wasn't working before. And I'm sure because he was up and down in the minor system or at a period of time, he was going back and forth through the system. But he was on the roster last year, but he was having his struggles offensively. It would not surprise me if that now he's – sort of like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do, and maybe I'm not
especially a guy that especially a dude that barely made the team too. Had really bad first like what 3.5 weeks of spring.
That's what,
and he was just like, he was just kind of like, screw it, let's see what I can do.
Because that's what makes me think that he, because of his journey and the way that was on the team, that's why I feel like he was really getting advice from the team. You're getting advice from the Yankee hitting coaches, and I'm sure Dylan back in the day, Dylan Lawson was in his ear, and all these guys. So
they did not like Dylan Lawson.
No, but that's what he sort of came up through the system. That was the hitting advice that he was getting. So that's why I'm saying it's a joke that he's making, but it is obviously
could be. It's a backhanded compliment right there, a little bit.
But it is. It's saying, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy because clearly he knows what he's doing.
What he's doing. So, hey, that guy hits and this instructor doesn't. So I'm going to go with this dude.
This guy is a generational talent.
He's about to get 500 M's, and I'm not.
Not so much. So they win that first game. Then game two, Rodon is on the mound for this one. The velocity was there. He was
I got kind of nervous in the first. I was like, dude, no way is this about to be the way he's going to start his second year.
But he let on a good amount of base traffic. But the promising thing was that when he worked into the issues, he was able to get out of them. You know, you think about the Alvarez strikeout. That was huge. And just he worked into trouble, and then he was able to get out of it. And then luckily the Yankees bullpen kept them within distance. Throughout up until the seventh, when then they carried away with it. But I would say to start the season, like you said, it was, oh, could this be the way that he starts? And the way that he was looking for those first couple innings, the velocity was there, but the location wasn't necessarily
I think last year he has a meltdown in this game.
Yeah. So,
you know, four and a third, one earned. I mean, yeah, he walked three, but I will definitely take that against what we still think, you know, obviously we swept them, but it's going to be a solid Houston team, right? I mean, kind of regardless if they win the division or not, they're not going to be a pushover. So I think last year Rodon definitely has a little meltdown, and then it's instantly bad press from there.
But luckily, he settled in. So he goes four and a third, five hits, one earned run, three walks, four Ks. Bregman got him in the bottom of the first.
Mm-hmm.
Put them up 1-0, and then the Yankees kept it within distance for a while. And then Oswaldo Cabrera breaks it open in the top of the seventh to tie it at one. Then so they got more base traffic, and then Soto walked to walk in a run, put them up 2-1. And then the Astros did not play great defense in the eighth inning, but we'll take it. We'll take the runs as we can. And the Yankees were smart on the base paths. Went up to 6-1 in the top of the eighth, and then Big G Giancarlo Stanton, who had some bad looking at bats through the series, but
I was seeing tweets like game two, and they're like, "Yeah, get Stanton off this team now." Yeah.
But he ended up having a solid series. I think he had a hit in the first game, so I'm calling that as a W when you get the Stanton home run. So. I did say, I mean, we said it last time, I would like to see him maybe lower in the batting order just because that sort of puts more pressure on him and to kind of earn that positioning of potentially a cleanup hitter or whatever. But they've been, in these first couple lineups, they've been consistently putting him at five. And like we said, more so, they've been making Glaber lead off, which has been nice. Glaber didn't make too much noise in this series, but yesterday he had a really solid day.
Yep.
And
right now, it almost like, obviously, it's not going to be like this the whole year, but it really doesn't, you know, I definitely think we want him under five, so 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that. But it hasn't stuck out like a sore thumb necessarily because Volpe's playing well, Wells is playing well, Oswaldo's playing well. So, that back half of the order is almost like, hey, G, you do nothing, we got your ass here, you know?
But then once, you know, if he can come alive, then it's like, whoa, there we go.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, who knows if Waldo's going to be, you know, Babe Ruth all year? Probably not. So you know, he may stick out like a sore thumb at some point. But again, you know, if he just slashes it and kind of like, I like that he slapped his homer the other way too. Or no, he did. Did he pull it to?
No, it was right center.
Okay, so he did
right
slap.
Field. And then I think the second one was Soto's was. To left, but
classic Juan bomb, yeah. Dude. It's insane that we have him and Judge that can both just go oppo like that. But look at the pen we used in this game too, Rob. Like you go from Rodon to Birdie, Weaver, Gonzalez, Ferguson, and then Beater. I mean, you don't even really use any of your dudes, and you still wrap up.
But that
7-1 win.
Then that's the beauty of the Yankees just bullpen. Like they're gonna be some of these guys that are just gonna step in and potentially just emerge as stuff. Like we're thinking about, remember Ian Hamilton coming last year, and you're saying, what, like now Ian Hamilton
Dude,
this
looked
year.
Disgusting.
He did.
So. This weekend. And so what Beater came from the Gallo deal to the Dodgers, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and now he's gonna be like he's clearly gonna be a dude throughout the year.
And if he is, call that a dub for the Joey Gallo trade.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, and look at I think we kind of, you know, we get away from giving Cash any credit. And, I mean, listen, I think we're the, you know, along with everyone else, one of the pods that has no problem digging into Cash and all the shitty moves he's made in terms of, like, you know, passing up on pitchers and leaving positional talent, you know, off the roster. But the dude can source a damn good bullpen. Just in terms of grabbing dudes for essentially nada and really making something out of them. Like, what is Luke Weaver going to be our Mike King type of deal? I mean, I know they said they wanted Laza to be that guy and pitch like every third day, but I mean, you know, if Weaver can go 1 2/3, 1 1/3, I mean, it's a good time.
Yeah. Very, very good time. Very good time. So Yankees take this one 7-1. Game number three, which was on Saturday, Fox on prime time, and the two guys in this game to really put the Yankees up was the story of Oswaldo Cabrera and Juan Soto in the seventh. But want to point out Marcus Stroman makes his debut. A really solid day. Six innings pitched, four hits, three runs, none of them earned, two walks, four Ks. Stroman looked really solid. The Yankees' defense exactly did not help him out, and a couple of misplays there were not the greatest. So in the, like I said, in the bottom of the, or I'll start at the bottom of the second, Dubon doubled the to right to allow Diaz and Pena in. And then Soto was able to score on an error in the top of the third. And then in the bottom of the fifth, Alvarez grounded into a fielder's choice and a throwing error by Volpe. Should have probably eaten it on that, but and then ended up, they threw the ball away going home. So just bad news Bears baseball going around on this one.
It's all right. He's a Gold Glover. I'll be all right.
So they were up 3-1. But like I said, then in the top of the seventh, Oswaldo Cabrera and Juan Soto, homer. Cabrera at the bottom of the order really kind of thrived here. You know, the Astros are probably thinking, okay, let's, we're not paying too much attention, especially because off of his last year, and I'm sure the scouting reports weren't telling him anything crazy. But
I mean, when he hit this home run, that's when I was like, holy shit, actually.
Yeah, he was, you know? He was feasting in this. Yeah. And then Volpe, too, gave him a little insurance in the top of the eighth with a homer to left. But the Soto homer was just so electric, and I think the coolest thing that we could take away from this beginning part of watching Juan Soto as a Yankee is just the quality of at-bats is just insane.
Dude, does anyone control the box, like, more effectively? I feel like he's the one pitching almost is what it feels like to me.
Yeah, and the way that he sort of dictates the at-bat, you feel like he's more so in control than most people. You feel that way with Judge a lot of times, but he has a different – he's certainly charismatic when he's in the box, and
he's got a different aura in the box. He's going to war a little bit,
but he's just, his pitch selection is just crazy. His eye for the ball is just insane.
He's not going to hit a pitch that he doesn't. He's not going to swing at a pitch he doesn't want to take a hack at.
Mm-hmm. And there was multiple times in this series, and particularly on Friday, where you're looking at the, you know, as you have the box for the broadcast box where you see the strike zone and where the umpire was missing a few calls. And it, granted, I think some of them were sort of minuscule, like right off. But yeah. Soto, you can just see how good his eye is because he's like, that's not a ball or that's not a strike. And
it's nuts.
That's how good he is. And I'm saying, wow, this guy is sort of a different cat when it comes to watching pitches and just pitch selection. Truly amazing to watch.
You see when Hader, I think it was when he made it 2-2 in I don't know what game it was. Maybe it was in the fourth game, but he made it 2-2 because he hit the corner real quick, and Soto kind of gives him like a little head nod. He's like, all right. And next pitch he takes him, you know, singles up the right side or whatever. I'm like, yeah, this dude just kind of gets into a two-strike approach and just knows that he's not going to chase and he's going to put the ball in play somewhere. And it's just something – I mean, obviously Judge is Aaron Judge and has a ridiculous eye. But when you have a dude like Juan who's, one, normal height, and then, two, he's not going to get that you know, breaking ball called at his ankles. I mean, it just takes it to a whole different level. So absolute pleasure to watch. And he's embracing just kind of the New York type of deal. Backwards hat in the interview. I love that. Instantly, as soon as he gets off the field, when he's, you know, giving handshakes or whatever, hat's kind of like popped up, swag, don't care. I'm running New York type of deal. So I love it.
So game four, to close out the game or close out the series, talk about again a Juan Soto just coming to the rescue at the tail end of the game. So in this game, Clark Schmidt pitched 5 1/3, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, 5 Ks. Clark, I would say it was an okay, solid start.
It was a Clark start.
Yes, just, you know, almost got the quality start, but ran into trouble in the sixth.
That third time around.
So it's tough, but I think it was a promising beginning to 2024 for Clark.
Five and a third, three earned, yeah.
But basically, the Yankees go up in the second on a Trevino infield single. Altuve in the third hit a home run. Not the greatest. That gave us a little PTSD, if you could call it that.
It always so does.
Wasn't the best. But also, John Birdie made the start because of a little tummy issue for Anthony Volpe. I saw some people on Twitter sending him Pepto to the stadium. I thought that was funny. But everyone was freaking out. But it was, no, Volpe's just got a little upset stomach. And he was talking to Meredith yesterday. And he's like, yeah, I feel a lot better. It was not good. So
it was just, yeah, you saw all the chicken parm jokes on Twitter. Just a bad chicken parmy.
Yeah. So Birdie got the start in this, and he made an impact. A lot of bloop singles in this game. Mm-hmm. It was a little weird for the Yanks, but a lot of bloop singles on this Easter Sunday. Judge hit a sacrifice fly to put them up 3-1 in the top of the fifth. And then in the sixth, the Houston Astros took the lead, which was not the greatest. You know, Kyle Tucker having himself as a good start of the year. Diaz singled in Tucker then to make it 3-3. And then in the top of the ninth, you get a little base traffic. You get a little guys on the bags for the Yanks. And Juan Soto, man, just against what you could call probably, as people like to call him, the best closer in the league. But you know, now those conversations are – I saw a lot of people talking about Clay as best closer.
I personally
will not go there. I know the numbers may tell otherwise, but we watch with our eyes, and just too close for comfort sometimes. But Clay's numbers have been very good over these past 2 years. So
he takes a page out of Chapman. I mean, gives us a good freaking scare, dude. And Hader's, I mean, we know Hader's good, and he's got disgusting stuff. And when he's on, he's one of the top pitchers. But like when he got traded last year, he definitely goes through some tough spurts, I think. Because I remember last year when he got traded to San Diego, right? Mm-hmm. I think his first, like, seven starts, he, like, gave up a run or more. Like, or not starts, appearances. He gave up, like, a run or more. So I'm not on the Hader train of sitting here being like he's the best on the planet right now.
But he's one of the better.
He's gross, for sure.
But Soto had a great at-bat against him, mm-hmm. and then was able to finish off the game or get the go ahead run to put him up 4-3, and then again Clay gives us a little bit of a scare, but luckily Alex Verdugo makes a great catch in the bottom
shoestring grab, Rob.
And I think Kay said it on the broadcast yesterday, or someone was saying how it had a under 50% catchability or something like that. I don't want to read too much into it. Verdugo. All this series, Verdugo was running around the field just
Is Verdugo going to be kind of like you know how Waldo, when he first got called up, would start playing left and right or whatever? Is he going to be like a Waldo-esque where, you know, any routine fly ball on the move is going to stress me out a little bit? But when you're diving to make a play, it'll look cool because you'll probably make it.
I think a lot of them, though, were
tough balls.
Yeah, they were really tough. I'm not as nervous because that guy was playing in Fenway, and that is the weirdest stadium orchestrated for playing balls.
No, he's an outfielder. He'll be fine.
So I don't think I'm because he is an outfielder
by trade.
Oswaldo going back and forth and playing different positions. So, but it was just it was fitting that he had to make that catch to end the game and end the series and the Yankees sweep. So, listen.
You just couldn't simply ask for anything better, and it was fun to watch. Like, it wasn't like these ugly, disgusting wins. I mean, obviously they're coming from behind, but you're like, holy shit, this team is fun, and that's simply a lot of times what. Like, anytime the Yankees are bad, we just go, this team's miserable. This team does not want to play ever. But they're having a grand time. I mean, the Verdugo quotes after where he's like, hey, what do you get from, like, watching Juan or whatever the question was? And he's like, we're just some dogs out there, man. You know? Like, I mean, I love, you know, the dogs quote, Soto backwards hat. Again, no Colin Judge. I mean, puts a really warm feeling in my tummy.
They're going to that'll be the moniker of the season for sure. Mm-hmm. Will be dogs.
Also, is Nick Birdie gonna be like,
one of their
dudes this year? I mean, he like pitching what, two high leverage spots, I think.
Yes, thank you for that, yes, because we have two birdies on the
two team. Birdies, yep. John and Nick.
I wanted to mention, too, that amazing play at third that birdie made.
Yeah.
To save the game, basically, for Clay mm-hmm. Holmes. But also, too, you make a really good point that birdie out of the bullpen is, he, like you said, he these guys that we're not thinking are going to be a huge X factor, but then they step into the pen, and now he's very dominant. He was
like birdie. I really didn't think he would be. You know, when you get all the buzz around Beater and you know Heel and you know Weaver's going to be in the mix, you're like, okay, I kind of know who's going to be in these like decently, you know, high leverage spots. But I mean, they bring in Nick Birdie kind of off the fly and threw him in some bigger spots, and it's kind of so Nick Birdie is giving me, I don't know, you know how I like to dig into the bullpen a little bit, but he's giving me like Ian Hamilton last year vibes in terms of like, hey, we're just going to throw this dude in big spots, see what he can do, and if he kind of shows out, I mean, he shows out. But mind you, Rob, I mean, you know, they're going with Birdie and all these dudes over, you know, Ron Marinaccio is not on the team. I mean, you know, guys that at one point were relatively promising, you know, Nick Birdie's taking their spot right now. So I'm all for it, dude. Come in, produce, shove, and you'll find a spot in the pen, it seems like.
Yeah, that's. I feel as though that's the life of a bullpen pitcher now, and kind of the way that it goes, and especially mm-hmm. for the Yankees, that's how.
Something to note too. I feel like classic Yankees, Rob. Like Waldo would not have gotten the start game three. It would have been John Birdie.
No, I agree.
And they wouldn't have rode the hot hand like they normally do. They'd be like, all right, you hit a couple homers. Now you're going to take a seat for 2 days. Maybe we'll see you in Arizona. But they didn't. I mean, they kept Birdie on the bench until game four. And Oswaldo got, you know, four starts at the end of it, but three straight, obviously, to start. And I was like, hell yeah, man. That's a different little vibe they gave me. I mean, we sit on the mics and scream every year. Like, Volpe hits two homers, and then he's sat for a game or two. I think that's saying something, you know. The Yanks go out and make a move for a dude that people are relatively excited for. And Waldo's hot, and they go, hey, we're going to roll with it. So, despite making a move. So, I love that. And then also, I don't know if we're going to talk about this, but I don't expect to see DJ, like, you know, anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll leave that.
Like, months.
We'll leave that for after we name our Savages of the Series, because I don't know. Especially if Waldo's playing like this and Birdie mm-hmm. is a factor. I don't know.
All right, we'll get into it after.
Okay, let us hop into our Savages of the Series. I'm going to roll with Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Because why the hell not? Why the hell not? I mean, there were two, and I know the one that you're probably going to take for this. But Juan Soto in this series has that one big home run, four RBIs, an average of 529, an OPS of 1.365, two runs scored. For what he is now, it is very clear that, at least me, I'm in blank check mode for this guy. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of Yankee fans are feeling that way, because now you just see that the way the team performs, the lineup construction, just the way that the presence that he brings as a hitter. Like, we talked about how patient he is, what his eye for balls and strikes, just his presence at the plate is just really unmatched.
Something we have not had.
And it's seriously rubbing off on the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. The energy is completely different. Talking to Volpe, talking to Oswaldo, they're just talking. These younger players that see a guy who's not much older than them.
He's only 25.
But he's just such an accomplished and sort of mature player at his age that he really is just a generational talent that you're just seeing how good he is. And the way that he looked in spring training to then carry it into the first series against a team that has been
a lot of buzz,
the thorn in the ass of the Yankees for years. And this is a team, don't forget, that he in 2019 took down with the Washington Nationals for their World Series win. And this is just a guy that the Yankees needed. And for him to start the season in this way has been amazing. And I really think, I mean, he has his own personal motivations from being, you know, he wants his bag and he's going to get his bag. But to then say, okay, this is a big year for the Yankees. You know, you got guys like Cole and Judge still in their primes and you know, a window.
A lot of dudes on one-year deals.
A lot of guys on one-year deals. And you need this
But it's
guy
a good who, team. Like, it's balanced.
It's a balanced lineup now. And you need this guy to perform. And that's what he did this first series. And to do it against a real big opponent for the Yankees was just perfect.
In the clutch, too. Go ahead winner against Hader to secure the sweep too. I mean, especially being a Yankees fan, you kind of get nervous when shit like this, you know, new player, especially a superstar that's supposed to perform well. You're like, knowing our culture and our fan base, if they don't perform in five games, I mean,
for real,
you know, Stanton got booed his first game as a Yankee for going like 0-4 with 4 Ks or whatever. So something you don't want, especially when we're trying to really bring this dude back for the next decade. I love it. You have to. But obviously, Rob, you know who I'm going with. It was, you know, two of two people this series. Oswaldo Cabrera, 7 hits, Rob, 2 homers, 4-6 RBIs, and a couple Ks, but doesn't matter to me at all. All over the place, like I said. Got the start all 4 games. I love that for him. Especially Yanks kept him in there when I thought they might sit him game 3. And it's just awesome to see, like I said, having the bottom of the lineup produce while Judge is, you know, not playing too well or just has a bad series, whatever you want to call it. And Waldo comes in and just absolutely mashes in some huge spots too. Like, not just, you know, no garbage time home run to pull away or anything like that. I mean, homers to get them back in the game, big hits to get them back in the game. 7 hits in a series is absolutely nothing to sneeze at. It's pretty ridiculous, honestly. It's got to be Waldo.
Does your gut tell you that it's going to be sustainable for him this year? Do you think
no?
That it,
okay. I mean, that's not sustainable. But be a 750 OPS hitter? Yeah, for sure. I think.
Okay.
But is he going to be Juan Soto? No.
Fair enough.
But I would love
to be on some
viral video where it's like you asked me that question and I'm just like no, like some pissed off loser Yankee fan. So. Yeah. I hope I get burned for that in a month.
Yep.
Do you think so?
No, not really. I'll be honest. Yeah, I was watching the game with my family this weekend for Easter, and I was telling my
this is a fun story for now.
Yeah, I was telling my parents, and they're like, "I don't know. You may have to. Oswaldo's looking pretty good." I'm like, "Yeah, we'll see. I'll take it for now." And any, you know, just play better than he was, and if he's in the bench capacity, like that's fine. That's fine.
Dude, you have to be literally nothing other than a liability. Like, if anything you provide is icing on the cake because you play every position.
Because he was a liability offensively. He was a liability. So just don't be that, and then, you know, your role on the team will be fine.
Dude, if he is a league average hitter, I mean, he's going to have a long career. You're a league average hitter. You play second, third, short in every outfield position. You can be just damn fine, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, let's get to our MVPs of sucking, and then we'll talk quickly about the game last night, and then we can talk about DJ. So, my MVP of sucking.
They stink!
Unfortunately, it goes to the captain. As I said, he went 2-for-16 this series, but a lot of people on the internet are chirping that, and I think we just have to acknowledge that he had a bad series, but I'm not going to. And I
Who
wonder.
Cares?
I'm really hoping, though, the one thing I'm really hoping, though, is I want to see, he had a hit last night, so I'm really hoping that this week and them getting back home against Toronto, he turns it around. Because if he does have a little bit of a struggle to start the, I'm not going to say that it's his performance whatsoever because he's the best player in baseball.
I just hope
opinion.
We don't start the injury thing.
Yeah, that, I just I then I'm going to like be, is there something
be like,
wrong
is your abs good? You're oblique, dude. What's up with the fucking toe?
So I just hope for that simply, I hope he turns it around. But that's the only reason that I'd be nervous because he's a, again, we got 2 generational players now. You got Soto and Judge, and Judge is, we're caught up in the Soto stuff, but let's not forget how freaking good this guy is. And that's one of the positives that it's like, okay, Soto did this for us and mm-hmm. and won a series and swept a series. So that's a lot of room to grow. And then
imagine what you can do with two of them, two of those dudes.
Exactly. You know? That's really exciting to me. So I'd have to go with Judge for the series.
You have to go with the captain, hold him accountable, big dog. He'll get there, no worries. But yeah, single last night. Once I see him put one over the fence, Rob, I think we all know it's kind of like, hey, clean your hands from there. We got another 55 of those coming, so I think Judge will be just fine. But like you said, definitely don't want it to go too long because instantly those injury questions: is Judge hurt? How's the toe? Yada what's yada yada. Do? Does what's he need time do? Off? Did they rush him back from his abs? Would he pull an old, like, yeah, whatever. So I don't want to get into that because that's gonna suck. But my MVP is sucking, Rob. You know, you could go with some hitters here and there, but I'm gonna hold Nestor, man. I mean, you really were the only pitcher that didn't, you know, similar to Clark's start, I suppose, but just starting the season off on a weird foot.
I felt a little better about Clark than I would like Nestor the whole time.
Yeah, especially the way he started, because I feel like bases were loaded, what, like two of the first three innings, it felt like, with him too, and you're just kind of on you know, damage control with him. But yeah, I'm going to give it to Nestor just simply because I instantly thought, you know, thank God you kind of held your own for five innings, because I didn't want them to burn the whole pen first day. He did settle in, but I'm going to give it to Nestor just simply because of the way, you know, I need you to bounce back from your injury and be all-star potential, you know, at least sitting, you know, sub four ERA. Nestor Cortez, we don't need to go back to anything aside from that. So I'm gonna harp on Nestor a little bit and say, I need you, kid. Garrett's out, step up. So
yep,
it's very going fair. To Nestor.
Very fair. So last night the Yankees opened it up in Arizona versus the Diamondbacks, the defending National League champions, which is still weird to see. They gave them their rings, I think, earlier. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are you doing a ring? But, I mean, the Diamondbacks only have one World Series, so it's still a little weird, but I'm like, okay. But they had, like, the
banners. They won the pennant.
Yeah, the Yes was showing the banners, and they don't exactly have, like, the longest history, so I'm like, okay, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
So
some
last night.
Up there.
Yeah, so last night the Yankees win 5-2. A prime example of small ball in this series, or beginning of the series. Volpe looked very good. Oswaldo still with the little bloops getting in there. Also some bad base run or some bad throws around for Arizona getting the ball going around. But I think the main
that was a tough time for them.
Yeah. But the main story, I think. I think you would agree with me because we talked about it before, was Luis Gil, because this mm-hmm. is your fifth starter. And, I mean, dude's coming off an injury, a serious injury. Dude's humming 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he looks,
I mean,
really
he's always
good.
Had the stuff too, Rob. Like that I think that's why, you know, remember when we talked a couple weeks ago and I was like, hey, if you're going to go, you know, just don't go Weaver as your fifth starter. I want one of the young dudes that has all this raw talent to get a shot. And I mean, I really think Gil is gonna kind of take it and run with it from there. Just after last night, and again, when he ended up throwing last night, 85 pitches, something like that.
Yeah.
Like they pulled him early too, you know, as they should have. First start back from Tommy John.
Yep, 4 2/3, 84 pitches, 3 walks, 6 Ks. So I mean,
yeah,
that's
6 Ks. I like that. Obviously, gonna get the walks under control, but
so we know that injuries are going to happen. That.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone on this team that is more than likely critical to the Yankees' success, is probably going to miss some time. That's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the sport. But now you're looking at a staff of Nestor, Marcus Stroman, Rodon, Clark, and now Gil. And you're probably going to think about, you know, two other guys, because that's always
someone's going to miss some time. Someone's going to get hurt for a while.
But if they can hold down the fort, and the news came out that Cole was targeting June 1st, I really don't buy into that so much.
I don't give a shit when he pitches. He could not pitch till September 15th for all
I
care.
I just think that they
– No,
but
TJ.
It's still important to talk about how if this staff – is this what they can kind of put along and chug along with,
yeah.
The Yankees won't – and then you're thinking, okay – if Cashman sees the success of this team, I mean, he's already going to have his probably hand on the phone ready to call. Then you're going to look at other teams and look around and see how else you can bolster the team. So I'm really hoping that, like, if Gill can step up and be a guy that contributes like this, then the Yankees are in a better position than they were before without having Gill a part of the equation, is what I'll say. So
100%. And I'm all in on Stroman and Rodon.
Yep.
I think they're there. And like you said, Gill just needs to be a complimentary piece where you're not a liability. And whenever we get guys where we don't have to depend on them, like, you know, we depend on Clark a lot last year, and especially at the beginning of the year, it was a tough spot for him because he got rocked in April a little bit. When we can just get these young dudes to not, you know, not be like, hey, we need you to go five to save the bullpen, and we need this game. I mean, you just set them up for success, dude. So put them in a spot where you don't have to necessarily lean on them. I think Gill can be that dude at the end of the roto.
All righty. Let's get into DJ LeMahieu. And the news that came out about him. So
he's never going to play baseball again.
Diagnosed with a fracture in his foot, and the timeline still remains murky. No clarity on when it's going to happen. And I texted you, and
like, no chance it's before June.
I'm expecting this guy. I don't know. I
also, what is a non-displaced fracture? What does that even mean?
I wish I was a doctor and I could tell you, because
is that like a hairline fracture throughout the foot or something?
But it's something new with him now. Every which way, and the performance
for 3 years now,
outside of the last 2 months last year, was not enough to say that you can't improve the position or at least manage the position in a different way. And I don't know. This is what I kind of expect. Like, the more that he was playing, and I know it was sort of it was him fouling off a ball off his foot. This is just kind of where we are with him. And
yep.
I think that more of the fan base is starting to say, okay, let's, if you have to platoon a thing of Oswaldo and Birdie, and I'm really excited to see more of Birdie. I'm not expecting.
I think Birdie's a starter in my head too. Like, he should be starting on a lot of teams.
So I'm not looking at his numbers. I'm not exactly expecting the most from him. But if he can be
literally DJ LeMahieu, like what we want out of DJ.
Yeah, in his career, he's been a guy that's hit around 290, 280.
Yeah.
If he could give us that, I'm saying.
And bottom of the order, Oswaldo, hell yeah.
If you work in Oswaldo, sign me up for that. Mm-hmm. And if he's on the field, be available. Just at this point, be available and be a quality. I mean,
swipe bags like that too.
You're making plays like you did on Sunday. Like, sign me up. So I'm kind of at the point, and I like
Birdie.
I know a lot of the fans are fans of DJ. It's kind of getting to that point where you're saying, okay, now last 2 years of this contract, do we sign him for six? Or is it the last two or last three? I think it's the last two, right?
So this year is 2024, and then he has two more after this year.
Okay. So, and then, I don't know. I'm just sort of
putting you should. It's essentially like we can't guarantee a damn thing out of you. Mm-hmm. I can't count on you for, you know, a tissue.
So
I think that's where we're at. Also, non-displaced fracture. I think I was right. The bone cracks or breaks, but stays in place. It is a stress fracture. Tiny cracks that form in the bone.
So that's like something fracture that certainly lingers, right?
Yeah, usually the result of overuse or repetitive stress-bearing motions. Yeah. So maybe the foul ball off the foot kind of, you know, almost like, I don't want to say.
Because it was the same foot that he had the other foot issue,
it's
right?
It's fucking right. It's, excuse the French, it's ridiculous. I don't know. It's like a hernia, a hip. I mean, did he hurt his oblique last year? No, I don't think so. But he had the hernia, the hip, the foot. I mean, come on, dude.
The other foot?
Or yeah, it's now the other foot? Or the same foot? What it feet? I don't know.
So it's this one's the right foot, so let me see.
Yeah, I don't remember what foot when he played for like half the year with this messed up foot, but
let me see.
I don't know, man. I mean, Fox I'm at the point.
Fox has a has a injury, detailed injury history. Jeez history. Louise.
Yeah.
So now, nah, it just man, has he, so now it just has, it just details his foot. I think it was the, it could be the same foot maybe, but, mm-hmm. or it was on a toe. So it's like, so just to give you a rundown of his past injuries, it was a foot in March of this year, obviously. Then in September, or August, it was a calf. Then in April of last year, it was a quad, toe of all of 2022. Then a wrist injury. And like, this guy is a walking, what is it, operation board, the game. That's what he is. And it's unfortunate, but you can't count on a guy with now this amount of injuries. You just really can't.
No, you really can't. And I think that's why they went and made a move for Birdie. Honestly, yep. I think Cash is like, I'm not counting on you.
Well, we mentioned it last week. We were saying, I think they're going to make up. They did it a little faster than I thought they would. But
I think it's because the news came out of like, oh, this isn't it. Because what did they say when DJ first got put on the IL? Didn't Cash say it's not going to be a long stint at all?
Well, so it was first Boone was talking, okay, he's going to miss opening day and he's going to miss time. And then I think it's
a classic Yankee injury.
It escalated to, okay, this guy's probably going to miss a couple months. And then that's what prompted them to make the move. So,
And I think if he comes back, unless Birdie and Waldo are like literally a massive struggle at third, I don't think he should be guaranteed. I don't think he should slot in as a starter at all in 2 months, you know? I think you should be spelling guys back to what he was originally signed for 3 years ago.
Because especially if the Yankees 4 years ago. If the Yankees are in a good place, then it's like you're not guaranteed a spot. Because if Birdie is
absolutely not,
then you're not guaranteed a spot. So
yeah, if Birdie's hitting 290 and Waldo's got a hitting league average and popping homers every now and then, I mean, what are we going to come back and hope you give us the same thing? And no, you should be a 3 day a week guy. So
totally agree.
Prove it, DJ.
Prove it. But that's it for episode 165. I really appreciate you guys for listening. The Yankees finish up their series this week, today and tomorrow against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Then they are going back to Yankee Stadium Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to play the Blue Jays. And then I believe they play – what do they play after Toronto? I'm thinking it's the Marlins, right? Yeah, they play the Marlins. Right in the back in the swing of baseball stuff, so very exciting. Glad to have him back, and a great start for the Yankees. So hopefully they can finish off this series against Arizona and then head into a good place against Toronto.
173-0.
170.
After their 11 postseason wins to win the World Series.
Appreciate everyone for listening. Make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all new episodes. Leave us a rate and review, and follow us on our social handles on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, or X. Really appreciate everyone for listening. We'll catch you at 166. Peace.